From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio. Science and technology that's interesting, fun, and if we can understand it, so will you. I'm John Wells.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
First guest this morning, Trudy Truitt, who has written The Dragon's Blood. It's the sixth installment of Nat Geo's Explorer Academy. And the story features adventures complete with science, technology, intrigue, and even code breaking. The book is for kids 10 to 13. But I have to tell you, Lynn, I read a good bit of this book. It's really cool.
Yes. Okay, great. Well, we'll look forward to that. And then we have in the studio from Park City Library, Katrina Kamak and Brittany Hecht, who will join us to talk about an event they're sponsoring on December 10th. It's titled Explore with NASA, Telescopes, Stars, and Galaxies. The event celebrates the upcoming launch of the James Webb Space Telescope, which is scheduled for December 22nd. It keeps changing. It was due last year, I believe, and then it was March,
year, yeah.
Then it was October, and now it was December 18th, now it's December 22nd. It's such a huge deal, and it's really great that the Park City Library is celebrating it too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now, if you're a regular listener to Cool Science Radio, you probably know we love to encourage young people to try science, give science a chance, and discover, as Lynn and I have, how awesome science is. Our next guest feels the same way. Trudy Truitt is a very talented kids author. She's just written The Dragon's Blood, which is the sixth installment of Nat Geo's Explorer Academy. This story features adventures complete with science, technology, intrigue, and code-breaking. The book's for kids 10 to 13 and could be a good holiday gift for your child or grandchild. Trudy Truitt, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. And this whole Explorer Academy series is fascinating. This is the sixth book that you have written, The Dragon's Blood. Tell us about the main character, Cruz Coronado.
Sure. Cruz has been, so this is the sixth book. Poor Cruz. He has been searching the globe for pieces of his mother's formula that she left for him to find. So he's traveling the world looking for pieces of a formula that are engraved into stone. And he is now up to the seventh piece. So he's almost there, seven out of eight pieces he's looking for. He's also traveling the world with 23 other explorers as they learn about the issues that face our planet, like climate change, extinction, pollution. And at the same time, they also get to have a good time doing some fun missions, doing some of the things that the real National Geographic explorers do every day, like searching for dinosaur fossils and helping to save some whales and doing photography. So it's been a great opportunity for me to combine the adventure that I want to put Cruz on along with the science and technology that National Geographic is so famous for.
Yeah. And these clues for his mother's recipe, his mother has left this final clue for him. And he's asked, I think, his father to go back and see if he can come up with some ideas for the clue. But it may have been something that occurred earlier in his childhood, so he may not have evidence of the clue.
Well, yeah, I mean, so there's some other things happening that are going on. I don't want to give up too much away, but I will just say that Cruz's mom developed a cell regeneration formula, and Cruz may have been exposed to that formula, so he may be he has a few secrets that he doesn't even know that he's trying to uncover and unravel a little bit with the help of his dad, who is back in Hawaii as Cruz travels with the rest of the explorers. So yeah, there's a few plot threads I'm weaving together there into the narrative to kind of give Cruz a little bit of an adventure, and that will lead us into the seventh book. So we can wrap everything up in the seventh book.
So the stories are based on a real science and research of National Geographic's explorers. So as you put this book together, you're developing your characters and you're developing your storyline. Are you looking for pieces of science and technology to insert into your book, or are they giving you some ideas from Nat Geo? How does all that happen?
Well, yeah, I really do my research. I do it pretty much all on my own. I always start with a story. I want a good adventure, a good plot. So then after that, I start to look for ways that I can weave in the science and technology. And that might mean, it might just mean reading an article about a National Geographic explorer who's doing something interesting. I'll give you an example. There is a archaeologist by the name of Sarah Parkak, and she has successfully located tombs by looking at satellite images, satellite video. So she could see from space that there were archaeological tombs in Egypt based upon the way that the earth was sort of carved or, you know, yeah, sculpted. And I thought that would be a really fun thing for the explorers to do as well. So in one of the books, that's exactly what they do. They start looking at satellite images, looking for looting sites or archaeological tombs from space. So when I see something like that, it makes good sense just to weave it right into this story. And then there are other times where I actually get to interview the explorers and talk to them and ask them questions about what they do. One of the National Geographic explorers that I talked with was a submarine pilot by the name of Erica Bergman. And she helped me with some of the sublingo because I wanted Cruz to go down into the ocean with the other explorers in a little tiny submarine. And I needed to know, how would he talk to the surface? What would they say? What would their communication
be? Oh, that's exciting.
And so, yeah, she was able to give me just direct information about. So I weave it in many different ways. But the goal is always to try to make it as real as I can make it in the confines of a fictional tale.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we are having a conversation with Trudy Truitt. She has written The Dragon's Blood. It's the sixth book published under the National Geographic Kids Books. What is the target audience? It's 8 to 11-year-old kids?
About 8 to 12, middle grade. But really any kid who's interested in, you know, science, who is interested in discovery, adventure, if they like mystery. There's lots of, we've put codes and puzzles in the book so kids can do a little code breaking and they can look for interesting embedded Easter eggs in the illustrations. And I've tried to make the subject matter appropriate so that if it's a younger reader who just reads ahead, like a 7 or 8 year old who's a great reader, should be hopefully as entertained as somebody who's 12 or 13, and that's the same age that Cruz is in the book.
So I'm curious about this, Trudy. You're building your characters, you're introducing pieces of science, you have secret codes, you have ciphers. How do you know you're hitting your target audience? How do you know you're presenting a piece of the story that they may not really grasp or that's too easy for them to hold their interest?
Well, early on, National Geographic actually did something that most publishers, I will say all publishers, do not do. I've never met a publisher that has done this, and that's they let kids read the manuscript of the very first book, and they thankfully they did not tell me, so because that would have been pretty nerve-wracking. But it was great in a way because we started to get feedback about what they liked, what they didn't like, what they and I do it as I write now. As the series goes along, I get a lot of mail from readers and feedback from them. So I do get a feeling for what interests kids. What do they want to know more about? What fascinates them? What elements of science do they not understand? What do they want and what do they like? And so those are all things that I try to weave into the story as best I can. But it is interesting because I always have this feeling that if I'm bored with it, the reader probably will too. So right. If I'm bored writing it and I've written a section, I'm like, wow, that really goes on too long. Then, you know, I realize if I'm bored with it, so are they. So the idea is to move along fairly quickly, keep them interested as much as I can, pay attention when they give me feedback. But you don't always really know for sure until you put the book out there, and then they speak to you, and then you know, I'm on the right track. But I think early on, when I saw the initial feedback from the first manuscript before it was printed, I thought, okay, I think we've got an adventure here that kids are gonna they want to go along.
So well, Trudy, you've gotten my attention. I mean, the review by J.J. Abrams and by James Cameron, who are two characters that I respect very much. How did that make you feel to have them review your book?
Oh, That was amazing. Very honored.
A.J. Abrams.
Very honored. Very honored. Yeah. And I think, I think my editors were more impressed with that than with the book. It was like, look at this, take a look. It's very, very humbling and very honored to have them be interested enough and to recognize that, writing for kids is very, it's very valuable and important. And that makes you feel great as an author, because you don't often get, you don't often get someone of that caliber to read, to give feedback, and to, acknowledge and respect of the work. So that was fantastic.
You got a couple of characters there that might be able to bring this to the silver screen.
I would love that. That would be great. It's interesting because, as you write, characters are pretty well formed in your head, and I see the action in my head. So it makes sense to me to perhaps one day make it into a TV series or a movie. That would be pretty amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. James Cameron once said, if you love something, you'll take care of it. So through this book, if you can get these young kids to fall in love with science, technology, engineering, mathematics, art, conservation, then that's really positive. And I believe that the series, that there's additional moves for the series. What's next with the Explorer series? There's a seventh book.
Right. We have one more book coming that I just finished writing. So okay. That will come about this time next year. So, Cruz needs to finish. I need to wrap up everything. He needs to finish trying to find that last piece of his mom's formula. He's got to, face off with the big villain, who I haven't really revealed yet. And there's also one of the other kids on the ship with him is a spy for the villain. So we have to reveal that. So there's lots of action and adventure coming in the final book. And I hope kids will, stick around for that. It's been a great ride for me. And I really, really enjoyed bringing the story to the world. Yeah.
Some people say that exploration is part of our humanness. How do you feel about that?
I do. I think that, I think we believe that, I think most of us think that the world has already been explored. We think of explorers as pioneers like, Magellan and Columbus and Galileo and Lewis and Clark. But the truth is that there is so much left to explore and there's so much left to uncover. And I think that, not just land and sea too. There's technology, there's other areas where we need to make progress in space and to health and medicine and transportation and technology. And all of these things are still so left unexplored that kids have the opportunity to do that. And the future is in their hands. So I want them to keep exploring. We want them to continue to explore and to make progress and advancements in science and technology. And so, the goal really is to just get them interested. And maybe they'll find a character they can relate to in the book, or even a career path. If they see a marine biologist, they go, "Well, that might sound interesting." So that they can explore career opportunities for themselves too.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time interviewing people at NASA, at Goddard Space Flight, or at Langley, or at Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or the various projects and missions, and every single one of them is so enthusiastic about their mission and about what they're doing. And they seem like big kids to me. And it's really exciting when you talk with them and they're sharing with you what their mission's all about and all the intricacies and those sorts of things. But they're like big kids.
Yeah, yeah. And most of the explorers that I've talked with and had the chance to interview, they found their passion for what they do as kids. They'll say, "I love to bring home snakes." The herpetologist will say, "I love to bring home snakes as a kid. My mom, my sisters and my mom would scream." And I've heard that time and time again. It's a great opportunity for us to nurture that in children. If a kid likes the ocean, you know, go there, explore there, you know, get your feet wet, see the creatures of the ocean, take them to the aquarium, learn, put books in their hands, because you never know, you might just have the next great oceanographer. You might have the next James Cameron on your hands. And we want to encourage that.
For our listeners who are grandparents or maybe they're parents and they have kids or grandkids, and they would like to get a hold of this series of books and number six here, Dragon's Blood, how can they get the actual book? Is the book also available online? What are the different options? How can they get a hold of this?
Yeah, you can purchase the series, any number of the books in the series, pretty much anywhere you like to purchase books. So if you have an online retailer that you like, you will find it there. If you have an independent, local independent bookstore, you will be happy to find it there. There are links through my website that will take you to the book at trudytruitt.com, T-R-U-D-I-T-R-U-E-I-T. It's spelled a little different.
I'm just
remember the word Truitt, T-R-U-E-I-T. Anywhere you love to purchase books, you can go to Disney. The Shop Disney has the books as well. So lots of places. Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Can you tell us a little bit about the Virtual Explorer Academy camp that's been set up?
I can. It was set up this summer to help kids sort of get that National Geographic Explorer experience. So it was a virtual camp that really combined, like, the explorers would come on and talk about rainforests and oceans and space and ancient civilizations. It was one way to kind of help kids through the pandemic by being able to bring National Geographic to them. And I hear they've been really, really successful. So it's fascinating because I got to see some of the explorers that I talked with and that I got to feature a few of their stories in the books. They were also on the camps this summer and sharing with kids what they love as well. Yeah, and they're just like big kids. So yeah, it was great fun for them. Yeah.
I want to mention that the illustrations are really nice in this book.
Oh, aren't they?
Illustrator. Did you pick the illustrator, or is this someone you've worked with before?
I did not pick the illustrator, not work with them before. It's all the art department at National Geographic does a great job with finding the illustrator. His name is Scott Plum. He's out of Vancouver, Canada. And yeah, I think his illustrations are fantastic. And then Antonio Camparo does the covers, also another amazing illustrator. So we were really fortunate that with some extremely beautiful illustrations, the book is full color. So you get full color illustrations. I don't know too many books that do that either. And of course, National Geographic always does things top notch. So it's real exciting to see. The design element is beautiful on the books.
You wrote your first play in the fourth grade. What was the play about, and and what has inspired you to have this career? You have so many books that you've written, over 100
books. That's interesting that you would write, what's the play about? I believe it was about a dinosaur, if I am not mistaken. I think it was about kids finding a dinosaur, because again, look at me, fiction, nonfiction. and I've really just, you know, it's been a great career for me, a great opportunity to do this for National Geographic, and truly a pleasure to be able to write the series. It's been translated into over 20 languages, so it's truly a global series. Yeah, and that's exciting to be able to get mail and from kids around the world. And that's the one thing that it's taught me: we are more alike than we are different.
Right.
And the kids around the world are more alike than they are different. And they understand the global issues that we face. And they want to participate. Kids want to be engaged. So I think it's just real important that we let them do that. And they have great ideas. And it does give me hope for the future. I know we hear a lot of bad things in the world, but it really does give me hope for the future when I see how passionate kids are about protecting the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same exact way. This show is out of Park City, Utah. And in southern Utah, it is the mecca for paleontologists. Mm-hmm. They have new discoveries every year. It's just fascinating. And it's something about our arid climate and the rock structures and those sorts of things that we're able to have this fertile area for dinosaur bones. Have you been to southern Utah?
I have not, but I know you are in fossil country there. And I'd love to visit. Yes, fascinating. Very fascinating.
Okay, Trudy, one more question. Let's get real here. Okay. You can go any topic that you want. I know you're very curious. What one question in science would you like to have answered that has not been answered yet? And take your time.
Take my time. Oh, gosh. I just had about a whole list came into my mind. I would really love to know if extraterrestrial life is out there.
Yeah.
I think that's the wonder, because that is really the untapped area. And there's plenty of places left to explore on Earth. And I think now we're starting to reach out even further. And I would love to know really what's out there. We'll tell you that my dad, who's no longer with us, worked on in the space program, and he was an engineer and helped engineer the Voyager spacecraft, which is still out there, which is still out there in space. And it's kind of interesting to think that even though my dad isn't here, something that he contributed to is still out there, still, you know, maybe looking for life. So that would be my question. Yeah.
You know, somebody once asked me if extraterrestrial life was actually here, how come they haven't contacted us? And I heard someone this response that I just got a kick out of it. And that was, if you're walking through the woods and you see a squirrel, do you sit down and try to teach it algebra? So I got a kick out of that. And that seemed to make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that we would think that they would contact us on our level. You know, Maybe they are here. We're not contacting them on their level. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Well, we are speaking with Trudy Truitt. She has written The Dragon's Blood. I have read the book. It is fascinating. It's the sixth book published under the National Geographic Kids Book section. I guess I'm a big kid. I enjoyed it. And of course, reviewed by a number of really solid people, including J.J. Abrams and James Cameron. Trudy, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Cool Science Radio.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Our next guests are Katrina Kamak and Brittany Hecht. They're joining us in the studio from the Park City Library to talk to us briefly about an event they're sponsoring on December 10th. It's titled Explore with NASA, Telescopes, Stars, and Galaxies. The event celebrates the upcoming launch of the James Webb Space Telescope, which is scheduled to launch on December 22nd. Katrina and Brittany, welcome to Cool Science Radio. Great to have you.
Hello. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be here.
Okay, so let's just start here. The Park City Library is also as excited as John and I are about the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope, so long awaited.
Yes, many years in the making, many different people partnered with this, and it's going to become one of the coolest sources of information for all of us.
So why is it important for you at the library to bring this kind of information to your clientele?
100%. The library always wants to bring the most accurate and up-to-date information to our constituents, to our patronage. And this was an awesome opportunity for us to share out about this mega science event. Like, it's just such a huge monumental thing that's happening in our lifetime, and we wanted to give our community the resources to learn about it themselves, to get them interested, and to just make the awareness happen. And NASA had put out a grant that we applied for libraries and museums, if I'm not mistaken, that can apply to do exactly what we're doing, to share out the information about the telescope.
Hubble was such a game changer for all of us the last 30 years, and there's so much infrared interference around it because it just orbits so close to the Earth and all. And this James Webb is going to be out at the second Lagrange point, which is about 1 million miles away. Can you tell us about that and what the possibilities might be for this new telescope, Brittany?
Yeah, that interference that is created by our atmosphere or being close to Earth is taken away with James Webb Telescope because it's got the resources to collect as much infrared coming in as possible. And to help us see more about the birth of stars, exoplanets, items within our solar system, and items outside of our galaxy.
So Park City Library, December 10th. Give us a little bit of the details about what we'll see, what we can hope to see if we come.
Yeah, we'll be doing a family-friendly event. All ages are welcome. We have different stations set up where people can explore what it's like to observe a completely new planet. And you can look at the way UV light works through this little bead system we're going to make. We're going to be launching foam rockets in the building. Very safety, lots of protections in that way, lots of spacing out for people to come. We encourage the wearing of masks. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to come and go as you please in that time frame. There'll potentially be an expert from NASA coming to talk, and we'll put out more information about that, the timing of that, when we have that, through our website.
Mm-hmm. It's been a very interesting process too, as they've pushed back the date and time. And you know, we're anxious about putting on this program to tell people about the telescope. I can't even imagine how the people at NASA feel.
They've just got a few more details to work through.
Yeah.
But actually, even if the launch of the telescope gets postponed yet again, and you know, I think when we first started talking about this, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, they thought that it was going to launch possibly several years ago, and the date keeps getting pushed back. But better to be, you know, accurate than
right. Sorry.
I think it's really great to bring about this excitement among, like you say, your patronage, so that even if it does get pushed back, we can keep following it.
100%.
And then we can check in next year when it brings us data.
And just one other thought, and that is that in addition to being out where there's no other interference or not a lot of interference, there's something on it called the NearSpec, which is a programmable micro shutter, which will enable observation of up to 100 objects simultaneously. So this is really going to be something.
Mm-hmm. So many technologies just needed to be invented to even be able to put this thing together.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
So, Brittany, Katrina, thanks for joining us in the studio, Park City Library, December 10th. What time again?
From 5 to 8 p.m. Come anytime you please and enjoy the activities with us.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio on KPCW Park City.